Jesus, you are good, and you have filled your house with the people you love today, people who love you. Thank you, Lord. We just give you this time to bring your message forward, Lord. Thank you so much for allowing me to receive your message this morning. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I just love it when you let me receive your message. Please anoint it with your presence as it comes forth. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say something because there's some newer people here. When we're worshiping, there's not an unwritten, you know, this is spirituality, raise your hands when we sing. When you raise your hands, you're like saying, I agree. I agree with these words I'm hearing. Sometimes we're going, this is me. You're talking about me. I need this. I want this. It's kind of your way of agreeing with a song or praying that song into yourself. So that's all it's about, you know, raising your hands, clapping, celebrate. Celebrate His goodness. So, yeah, I just thought I'd help you understand. Because some people walk in, I used to, and go, so music comes on and they all go like this. What's that about, you know? It's individual. I am so excited. God's going to do something this morning I have never seen Him do. He is going to make you stewards. Do you know what a steward is? A steward is someone who has been given authority, like a manager, over something that belongs to their master. Like a steward in the Bible, there were stewards who were just stewards of the table. They brought the wine and served it to the king. There were stewards today on passenger ships. They're there to make the passengers comfortable. There are people that have been placed in a position, given authority, to do something in the name of their boss or their master. There are financial stewards who take over all the management and financial dealings of a company. God is going to make you stewards today. I'm so excited to have to show you something before I even bring the message. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago? Well, actually, it was longer than that, wasn't it? A couple months ago, when someone wanted to sow a seed into this ministry of $100. That's sign language. $100. When you sow a seed, it means you're going to plant it. It's just a little seed, but it's going to grow and multiply into some big thing as you plant it. If you plant it in the right ground at the right time, and it gets rain and sunshine and you cultivate it. So that was just a little seed. When we told you that seed had been sown, people here sowed more seed, and it became $400. 400 seeds. Well, we've been in prayer a while about how to sow those seeds and see them grow. So in prayer, we thought about, what does this ministry need? What does God want to do in this ministry? Well, number one, we'd like to keep this building, and we can't pay for it. So we would like to sow some seed into the building in some way that God would bless it, multiply it, and we'd be able to pay for the building. Or if He moves us, another building. We would like to sow into the things God has called this ministry to do, such as children's work. We need teachers. We need nursery workers. Now comes another visitor. We are put here to train ministers. We are put here to start other ministries, other churches, like Nate and Leida's ministry in Ionia, like Big Ed's ministry. I don't know how many of you know, Big Ed is again driving a food truck, delivering food to food pantries, and he needs gas money just to get the free food to the people who need it. So there's gas money for Ed. There's money to support what Leida and Nate are doing, and to start other ministries. We want to sow into missions like Africa. Janine Dudley are called to Africa. We already have Apostle Steve in Africa. We support him. There are many ministries we want to sow it into. So we sat and we thought, what if we divide this 400 seeds and put it into all these places equally and then watch it grow? Well, the leadership was talking about that last week, and one of the leaders came up with a better idea. What if we sow the whole fund, $400, God's money, into your hands and make you stewards of God's money and let you sow that seed. Anywhere you want, any way you want, invest it, double it, triple it, match it yourself. There's all kinds of things you can do with it. Or you could give it away in a way that pleased God, because you can't outgive God. He'd give back to you more than that. And then you do what you do with God's money, and then you bring it back, plus whatever you profited from it, and share that and bring that. And you get to sow it into whichever of those aspects of this ministry you choose. So how do you like that? Sound fun? Well, we're going to talk about that before we give these out. There's random amounts of money. You could get $20. You could get $1. We have no idea how much is in these. We're going to hand them out to anyone who wants them today. There's 400 total. This is the seed money. And we're going to put it. God wants to trust his money into your hands. And then have you pray to him and see what he'd have you do with it. Now, we want you to be accountable, and you'll see why as we go through scriptures about this. We're going to have you write your name down and the amount that God gave you, so when you bring it back, you can share the increase. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We'll give those out at the end of the message. Your guardian of the stewards. Paid to go to church today. You can just pocket it and keep it if you want, but I wouldn't want to be in your shoes if you did. That could be dangerous. You reap what you sow. So I just am so excited about that. And at the end, we may give you ideas. You may say, I don't know what to do. You know, there's the simplest little things like Tempe, buying a little art tablet and some markers. Draw some pictures and sell them. But telling people, this is for Jesus. Wouldn't that be sweet? Okay, so let's turn to Luke 16. We're going to see what it means to be a kind of an unfaithful steward. We're going to look at that first in Luke 16, starting in verse 1. I just need a Kleenex. And he said also unto his disciples, thank you, just one is good, thanks. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it I hear this of you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. So he said to this guy, I put you in charge of my money, but I'm hearing you're wasting it. And if what I hear is true, it's very possible you're not going to be my steward anymore. You know, we're already stewards of God's money. If you have surrendered your life to him, your everything to him, then everything you own is already his. You know, it starts out with the tithe. That's not even optional. The Bible teaches us one-tenth belongs to God. We're to bring in one-tenth of our earnings and give it back to God's work. That's just like law, just what's required of you. It's like paying your taxes to the government. How can God's body function if we don't do our part? But then there's offerings. And then they're saying, God, you own everything I have. You can give all of it away if you want. Lord, everything I own belongs to you, whatever you want to do with it. We are stewards of everything God gives us. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me my stewardship. I can't dig, and to beg I am ashamed. Now here's a guy who's in it for the money. He is strictly in this relationship for the money. He says, I like handle and money. I can't dig. Why can't he dig? Why can't we do menial labor? And to beg I'm ashamed. I'm certainly not going to start begging. I'm not going to do physical labor, and I'm not going to beg. I have to be a steward, because all I want to do is make money. But he's even been lazy in that. He said, I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of this stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now, he looked at the people that owed his good master money, and he said, so my good master's going to kick me out, and I want the people who owe him money to like me, so they'll take me in and trust me. He's just making friends with the world. He's not a good steward to his master. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, How much do you owe, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. He said, I'll let you out of it for half. Then he said to another, How much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, Take your bill and write 80. He knew this guy could give 80. Let me get every dime out of you I can get here. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That is very sad. Do you know we have wise businessmen? We have people in this world that are smarter than the Christians, than the children of God who have his light and wisdom when it comes to their money. We have people who are brilliant with how to make money, smarter than we are because we haven't yielded it to God. So he also had a very worldly boss who said, Hey, that's a good plan. You know, they accept that today. When you go bankrupt, or not bankrupt, but if you get absolutely dirt poor, lose your income, lose your job, you can go to your creditors and offer them half and they'll take it. It's a good move. They'll take it instead of just having it grow with interest for years. That's one way to get out of your debt. It's a smart move. But this is all done by ungodly, worldly people. And this man, he had wasted. He had not done right. And he almost lost his position. But in order to keep his money, he made friends with the devil's way and the devil's ways about money. We don't want to compromise what we do with our money. We don't want to compromise making money instead of pleasing God. So we don't want to be an unwise steward when God trusts us with his money. Verse 10 says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which means money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Sometimes God tests us in what we do with money. If we're not faithful in how we handle money, then how will we be faithful if God trusts us with greater riches than that, the real riches? No servant, verse 13, can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve money. You can't live for money. You can't trust money. Harvey had a good job with Pontiac Motors. He had a real good job. We had a lot of kids. And he had good insurance. He had good benefits. He had good vacation pay. We had security. And God said, walk away from it and go start a church down in Raymondville, Texas. But God, we don't have any supporters. We have no income, no supporters. And we wouldn't even know where to live when we get there. And we'd lose all his seniority and lose all of our income. God said, go. So we got rid of everything that wouldn't fit on a school bus, packed that school bus up with our kids, and whatever we could get on the bus, and we went to Raymondville, Texas. Never been there before in our life. Had no idea where we were going to live, what we were going to eat. No money, no security. I'm not going to tell you that whole story. We stayed with some people in a church down there. And then God said, here's the house I want you to start the church in. Go tell the bank this God wants you to have it. So we went and told the bank. We want to start a church in that house. We'd like to buy it. He said, that's good. How much money do you have? We don't have any. Well, do you have a down payment? No. Do you have any income? No. He said, well, okay, I'll sell you the house if you come up with $2,000. So we went to the church. They gave us $2,000. We gave it to him. And he sold us the house with no income to make payments. But that wasn't good enough. Percentage rate was 14%. And God said, you go back into the manager and tell him we want 10%. Now, remember, we're going in there with no money to make a payment, but we're making him do it. And we want this counter fixed, and we want that fixed. And we gave him a list of what God said had to do to get that house ready to have a church. And the guy said, "You're a crazy." And we said, "Would you call the manager?" So he called the president, and the president said, "Give them whatever they ask for." So we left everything, but had we said, "First, you've got to show us how we're going to live. You've got to show us that there's a house. You've got to show us that there's an income. God, you've got to give us some security." No. Walking by faith is whatever he says without being able to see it. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And nothing pleases God like faith. But if you hold on to money and say, "I can't do it unless I have steady income. I can't be in church Sunday because my boss said I have to work. I can't go to church Sunday because I'd make $200 less this week. I can't pay my tithe. I wouldn't have enough left for my bills." When we got married, first of all, he wasn't making anything, and then he got all the way up to $90 a week. We're giving Dad, God $9 of it. And we got $81. And we said, "You know, we've heard you can't outgive God. Let's give him 20%. Our pastor said, "You can't afford to give God 20%. We said, "We can't afford not to. We really need to be blessed." You know, it was very quickly. He moved into a new job, made more money. Then he moved and made more money. Then he moved and made more money. Somebody gave us a place to live. And then when we sold it and made $10,000 profit, they said, "Oh, you just keep it." Well, then God took it away. And he said, "What will you do if I take it away?" "Just praise you anyway, because we don't live for money." We have to get the root of evil out of our heart, which is the love of money. You know, we don't love the green piece of paper. They're prettier in Canada. They have more colors. We don't love silver coins. We love what it can do for us. We love the security. We love what it buys. We love everything that money can do. And that's the root of evil. If you love it more than God and you hold on to it, because you can't have two masters. Which one do we serve? Which one do we serve? God has so many reasons to give away his money today. So many things for us to learn from it. Look at Matthew 25. Starting in verse 14. Matthew 25:14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. I don't know how much a talent equals, but that was some kind of money. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey." Several ability. That means he gave different amounts to different people according to what he knew they were capable of doing with it. The reason we have random amounts of money in the envelope is because God knows what you're capable of doing with it, and I don't. We don't. What's that? It's worth $1,000? Cool. We tried to figure that out and didn't. You're smart, Steve. A talent is $1,000. I'm going, what are we making a bid? Is that what you're putting in? Or that's right. Anybody match that? So I don't know how much you ought to get. Now, what I want to say is one man might take $20 and bring back 40. Somebody else might take $1 and bring back 400. God knows what you can do with a dollar or with five or $10. So it's not an insult if you get $1. He's saying, "I know you, Harvey. You could turn a dollar into a gold mine. And I know you, Sue. You could turn 20 into 5, you know?" I have this little sideline joke I tell my husband. You know, the Bible says, "Store not up on this earth. Let your treasures be in heaven." I tell my husband, I try to spend it as quick as he brings it in. I don't want him guilty with God for saving it.
I know that's right.
I hope that's just a joke. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same and made them other 5 talents. Do you know how easy that would be for you to do? If you get a $5 bill today, you know what you could do? You could walk up to somebody else who loves Jesus and say, hey, God gave me $5 of his money to make him some more money. Would you trade that for a 10? Would you take my 5 and give me a 10? She goes, yeah, I'll do that. Hey, guess what? God gave me a 10, and this is for God's work. If I give you the 10, will you give me a 20? I went to the wrong guy. You could just trade it. You just trade it. Or ask somebody to match it. How about everybody I go to? Will you match it for God? It's easy. I keep losing my spot when I walk away. Okay, and likewise in 17, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes, and he reckons with them. So he that had received 5 talents came, and he brought other 5, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, if that was the full reward, that'd be enough. You're in love with Jesus. Wouldn't you love to walk back here and say, God, you gave me a dollar and I brought you back 2. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on. Enter into my joy. Enter into my... I'm going to fill you with joy. My joy that passes your understanding. That's a good reward. But then he said, I'm also going to make you ruler over some things because I've tested you and now I know I can trust you. You didn't go out and just spend the money on you and come back empty-handed. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. And behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Wait a minute. Let me go back up here. Go back up to the 5. I just caught something. He said, I'm going to make you faithful over a few things to the guy with 10. And the guy with only 5, he said, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. See, the amount wasn't the point. The amount wasn't the point. There was something in the guy with the less money that he made ruler over many. And the guy with more money was made ruler over few. Yeah. Did I read it wrong? Verse 21, he's talking to the guy with 5 who brought back 10, Janiah. Verse 21. You've been faithful over a few, I make you ruler.
Over many.
Oh, I did. I got the few wrong. Okay. I thought I read that. And it was like, wow, I didn't see that before.
No, you said the
same exact thing to both guys because they did what they should do.
Right. Didn't matter what they started with.
Okay, verse 24. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you that you are a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not worked. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth. There, you have back. There it is. Take back what you gave me. Basically, he's saying it's yours, gave it back to you, did nothing with it. Did nothing with it. And his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sow not and gather where I haven't strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. He said, couldn't you have just put it in the bank and got some interest? You wouldn't have to do anything. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he had. and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to show you a couple of things about this last servant. They had the same master, but the first two knew him in a different way, and they entered into his joy. You know, John 17 says, eternal life is to know God, to know him, to experience the relationship with a real God, to know that he's love, he's mercy, he's joy, he's laughter and dancing, he's grief for those who are sad. He's wise. He's always right. He is good, and he is love.
Right.
But this last servant didn't know him that way. He said, I think you're harsh. You're a hard man. You send me out to do stuff for you, but what are you doing for me? He said, you want to reap? You didn't go out and work and do anything for me. Don't some people say, God, why don't you do what I ask you to do? Why don't you do something for me? You're God. You got the power. I'm needy. Come and serve me. You don't know him. You don't know this holy God. You see him through the law of the Old Testament. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And you go, you're just a lawmaker and I can't keep your law, so you're waiting to punish me. You see him as hard, harsh, mean. He won't do what I need him to do. So you don't do anything with what he gave you. You've got gifting inside of you. You've got a call on your life. But you don't give it to him because you don't trust him, because you don't know him. And that's why this last servant did nothing with what God gave him. Now, when he said he shall be cast out into outer darkness, darkness is the absence of light, the absence of God, the absence of joy, peace, love, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Have you ever grind your teeth? Man, I used to grind my teeth. You know, when you're stressed, you're worried, you know, you're angry, grinding of teeth, weeping and grieving, hopelessness and darkness, because he didn't know God as good. So there's a picture of good stewards and a steward who doesn't know God. When God puts his money in your hands today, do you know him as a good God? He'll tell you what to do with it. If you say, you know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, even if you're not a Christian yet. He said, I will give anybody wisdom who will ask me. So if you say, God, what do I do with it? Thoughts will start coming in your mind. You'll start getting ideas. And if you do the ideas God gives you, he blesses that seed to grow. He will bless that seed.
Exactly.
And you know, there's more to your sowing seeds than making some money for the church. I mean, we have never done anything like this. We have never done bake sales, you know, try to earn money for God. We've said God can supply through his people. This is more about you than about that money. He could rain money from heaven. He could have the rich come in and donate it. This is about you. And when you go out to sow that seed, though you're sowing a seed of money, you're sowing a seed into the one that you're going to. You can walk up to somebody with that seed and say, God is doing something awesome. Let me tell you about my God. This is so cool. And you start witnessing into them. Sow the seed of God into somebody as you go. Sow that seed. And even after you begin to reap later, you go back to them and say, I got to tell you what God did through that. It's opening a door into someone's life for you to sow the seed of God into them. That is huge. That is huge. Look at Mark chapter 4. Starting in 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should go to sleep, and he rises night and day, and then the seed should spring and grow up, and he doesn't even know how. How did this happen? For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up, and it becomes greater than all the herbs, and it shoots out great branches so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You have no idea when you go sow a seed of God. And then one day you look back and go, oh my gosh, look at the ministry flourishing. And I sowed one of those little seeds. How did this happen? It happened the day we all sowed these seeds. And you were a part of it. He wants you to be a part of it. It isn't about money. And it is about money. It's about money because that's so important to all of us. It's about God trusting you with his money to see if you know him as good and see how you sow a seed for him. And then one day you'll come back and you'll say, man, we have nursery workers and a full nursery, and we have teachers and all the other, wow, we see 500 people in here. And I helped sow that seed. And some of those people are the ones I sowed seed into, and now they're here. It's exciting. It is so exciting. I want to end it with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I bet you wonder how I'm finding them all today without fumbling around like normal. It's because I went to history and listed them so I can get there quick. Finally learning how to use this thing.
Nine.
Yep, we're going to look at verse starting in 6.
Six.
Yep. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food. Look at that. God has given you seed and he's telling you to go out and sow it. And he wants you to sow it into someone else, not into yourself, not into what profits you. Because as you give into others, God will take care of you and your needs. He will give back to you. Says 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your own food, and he multiplies your seed that you've sown, and he increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. You are not only meeting the needs of this church, but it will meet your needs. It will meet the needs of all those you sow into. Look at 13. While by the experiment of this ministration, we're doing an experiment this morning that we've never done before. And God says, while by this experiment of this ministry, this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Even if you get $1 today, it is an unspeakable gift God has put in your hands. It will sow seed into his work. It will sow seed into whoever you go to with it, if it's 1 or 100, and it will sow seed into you. This is an unspeakable mustard seed that's going to grow into an enormous tree of thanksgiving and blessing back to God and to you and to others. Isn't it awesome?
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you ready to receive your gift? You don't have to receive it. you don't have to participate. I mean, if that scares you or you just go, I need to think on that. It's no judgment. That's fine. But if you do take one, I'm going to leave my notebook right here. If you do receive an envelope, I'd like you to come put your name, the amount you did receive, so that we will be able to rejoice with you when you bring it back. So, Father, we just now just want to take a minute and let that soak in. We want to take a minute and come in your presence and say, God, do you want me to do this? Will you guide me through it? Do you want me to decline no matter what others think when I do? I just want to do what you want me to do here. I'm willing. God, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for the power of your blessing on our seeds. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to say something. When Sue and I used to go around and we would go door to door and talk to people about Jesus, so many people I would hear talk about, God just wants your money. And when I went to church, all he talked about was money. And for years, as we started churches, we never took up an offering. And what we do is we take up an offering, but we have it up front. We don't pass it around like, here, give. It's like, if it's in your heart. And when I used to preach around the country, different pastors would ask me as I preached, they would say, would you like to take up the offering? And I would warn them and say, you may not want me to do it. And they say, why? And I say, well, if you have me do it, you'll find out why. And then they would have me do it. And I would say to people, God is not after your money. He wants you. And if you come today, and because most churches I'd go to, they'd pass an offering plate. I said, when we pass an offering plate, we're not after your money. I said, God wants you. Because if he has you, you're going to trust him and honor him with your money. If he doesn't have you, he's not looking for your money. He owns the whole earth. And as a matter of fact, if you're born again, he owns you. The Bible says you're bought with a price. You were worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. He paid for you in full. Somebody just go ahead and say amen. Anyway, so what I used to say to people when we take up the offering is, we're going to take up an offering. If you don't want to put any money in, don't. We're not after you to put money in. We're giving you an opportunity to trust God. We have never done this. We don't know why God would have us do this. People sowed $400 or 400 seeds. Understand, we take more than that every week. More than that every week comes in. But this was a offering that somebody said, I feel like God wants us to give you $100 as a seed into your ministry. And we said, okay. And then when we told the people here that somebody had done that, others begin to say, I want to give into that. And it turned out to be $400 or 400 seeds. This may be the only time you're in church for a while. You may be visiting. And you may be saying, all they talked about was money. That's right. And we gave you some. We didn't ask you for any. We gave you some. We're giving you God's money. Because that's what we felt like God told us to do. We've been praying about it for 2 months, saying, God, there's all kinds of places we could sow this seed. Where do you want us to sow it? We had ideas, but it was like, okay, I'm going to. All I'm saying to you is, God is giving this to you. You get to do whatever. You pray, you ask God, this is giving you an opportunity to get closer to God. God, what do you want me to do with this? You're going to find out what God's going to do with it. And he's going to do it in you, each and every one. We talk about this as a full-body ministry, not a one-person show. It's about God flowing through each person. Each person.